It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans. We're kind of doing a survey. We have finished the study, and it was so good, or I enjoyed it so much. I hope that you did too. And we're kind of just gleaning over it generally, and there's so many good points. And we've gotten to the sixth chapter, and we're going to do the sixth chapter and maybe into the seventh chapter today. And so please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and we'll continue this wonderful study. As you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and that'd be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Our phone number here is 217-847-2717. And if you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, prepare for this wonderful study. We're going to begin reading with the sixth chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we'll get started with the study. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What a wonderful, wonderful text to read. Let's begin with prayer, Father. I just thank and praise you that we have the opportunity once again to come together and to study your precious word. It's almost been 2 years since we've been in this area of the scripture, and it was so wonderful to study it and to enjoy it. And it's been just a double blessing for me to go back through and look at these verses of scripture again that we had once studied that period of time ago. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us as we kind of quickly move through here, and yet through this section of chapter 6, we're going to take some time, Lord, so that we all understand exactly what it's talking about. Guide and lead us now, Lord, and just speak to all hearts, those that are lost, do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come and be born again, be saved. They must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Father, they must meet your Son at the cross of Calvary where he died, took our sins away, set us free, gave us life. Please, dear Lord, and then we know, Father, that he is the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand, and what is he doing? He's making intercession for us right now. Oh, thank you, Father. Speak to our hearts, all of us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this study here, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The grace that saves us also teaches us. We have a new nature. Believers have a new desire. When you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust in the gift of salvation, God's free grace as he hands this wonderful gift to us. We need to accept the gift. Please, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must trust in the Lord Jesus. The only way you can do that is right now, as the Spirit of God's convicting your heart, that you recognize that he is that you don't understand, but your heart is churning, and you know something's wrong there. Please, you're a sinner and you're lost. I was a sinner, I was lost, but now I am a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. Now, Jesus died for me. Jesus took all my sins away. He'll do the same for you. Please trust in Him. So please understand that the saving power of God also teaches us that we have a new nature. We have new desires. And not only new desires, but a new power to help believers to fulfill the new desires that are given. We have a strength in us, and it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. For the first time, we have the power to have the victory. Before, we could change our lives. We could say, boy, we just don't like the way we are and the way we act or the places we go or the people that we are around. I've got to make some changes. So we try to make some changes. Maybe even you go to church. And you think by going to church that okay, you know, I see the people and they're kind and they don't curse and they just live a pretty good life. And so I think I'm going to try that. I'm going to try to do the same. Well, by trying to do the same, you are still doing it all on your own. By doing it on your own, you will fail. Because without the power of God, there is no real strength to have that victory. It'll last for a little while, but then it'll fail. But with the Lord Jesus, as you come by faith to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, then we have a new power that we didn't have before to have victory over these things. Oh, that old devil and that old flesh still wins on occasion, more than he should. But we have a power and a strength that we didn't have before. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And again, I know that we've been through this, but it's just, I'm just enjoying it so much in going back through it and studying it again. And the time that I'm spending in preparing for these lessons has just been such a blessing to me, and I hope that it is to you. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. It is so important that you recognize what happens when we become a child of God. Then we have the opportunity to learn the way that God would like us to live, which is a wonderful, joyful way of life and peace and joy. And with that, then, we have the power to have that victory, which we have not had in the past. And so as we look at this sixth verse and that first verse, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, the very grace that saves, it also teaches us that what to do and what not to do. So for us to continue to live and walk the worldly way, the way we used to walk and talk and act and everything, and there's no change, then, my dear friend, you're not born again. Because the Holy Spirit is in the process of teaching you the ways of God, the ways that don't bring confusion and don't bring conflict, but they bring peace and joy and contentment. So please, I just ask that you really, really enjoy that. Grace is much, much greater and more powerful than everything, than anything. And so please look to it. And here in verse 2, God, you know, Paul answers this very quickly. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's kind of look at this very quickly. We who are born into the family of God have died out of the family of the devil. Now, understand that. A lot of people, they think that they're good, but you're either of the family of God or the family of the devil. You're one or the other. And if you're not born again, now that's not my saying. That's not the church. I mean, that's not something that we have developed. It's what the Word of God tells us. And we must trust the Word of God. We must follow the Word of God. And so, again, we who are born in the family of God have died out of the family of the devil. We as Christians have shared Christ's death and are sharing, and in sharing Christ's death, we died to sin. We had no opportunity, no ability to die to sin. We just couldn't do it. It was our natural state. The devil loved it, and it was our natural state. We just loved to function and to operate that way. And so we were by nature children of the devil. But upon receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a gift! God forbid that we continue in the sin that we enjoyed prior to being saved, born again. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Good question. Very good question. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Now, many folks in religions, churches, have misunderstood this verse because they have placed water baptism here, immersion, and that is not the proper place for it because this is not talking about water baptism. Now, I've got a couple of verses that we're going to look up, and one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 and 13, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one Spirit. Not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. We're immersed in the Spirit of God the day we trust in Him as our Savior. So, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Very, very clear right there. Let's go to Galatians now. Another one. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptized into Christ. That is not talking about water baptism. That's talking about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God coming to dwell in your heart, baptized into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, baptized in the Spirit. We have not only been baptized into Jesus Christ, but through this baptism into Christ, we have been baptized also into His death, as this verse says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Now, what does that have to do with it? Baptized unto his death. The death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. This death, you know, our baptism into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ took place the moment we believed. The second that we joined to him by the Holy Spirit, we were made members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Ephesians 5:30 tell us that. And so we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This was done the second, the split second that you trusted in Jesus as your Savior. And again, you can look at that in Ephesians 5:30. From the time we believe on Jesus Christ, on Christ as our personal Savior, and it is a relationship, a personal relationship. It's not a religion. It is a personal relationship. Please understand that. The personal relationship you have with your friend, with your bride, with your husband, the personal relationship that you have. We have the same, only a greater personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. And when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in the Lord Jesus, then is when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within our hearts. And that's when we go from being a member of the family of the devil and we become a family of God. It's because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. So not only do we have life, but also the reason we can have life is because we become part of his death. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, now we have become one, a part of him. And when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins died there too. And that's the reason you must come by faith to him and have this personal relationship. From the time we believe on Christ as our personal Savior, we have been reckoned partakers in all he ever did. All he ever did for us in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. That's what happens when you trust in Jesus and have this personal relationship. Christ died for us according to the Scriptures. You see, that's the only authority that we have. Our doctrine here at the church is in line, aligned with the Word of God. If it is not in the Word of God, then it is not a doctrine of this church. But many churches have acquired their own doctrines, or we could even call them their own traditions, and they hold on to those in the strongest way. And yet, sometimes, often, they're contrary to the Word of God. And the only authority we have is the Word of God, according to the Scriptures. When he died, we died in his death. That's what the Word of God tells us. Wonderful. When we are baptized into his body by the Holy Spirit, we share in his death, burial, and resurrection. The second we believe, we have this opportunity, the very second. And believers sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. And we find this in Ephesians 2:6 tells us that. Some things here. The head of the church is Christ. The foundation of the church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Believers are members of the body. Therefore, positionally, we sit together with Christ in heavenly places right now. What an opportunity. What a joy. This is not talking about water baptism, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in baptism. We are immersed in the Spirit of God. And it's called this immersion baptism, but it's when the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. That's the day. And that day takes place the day you're born again, the day you accept Jesus as your Savior and begin that wonderful walk because you've been made new. Oh, you still got that old flesh. but you're made new. And for the first time, you have the power to have the victory for the very, very first time. It's baptism of the Spirit. Now, we have looked at these verses of Scripture. We enjoy them, and we're going to take a look now at back at this third verse, because it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? We are also baptized unto his life, because we died with him." It was just as if we died. Jesus took our place. And that's the only way. The wages of sin is death. We have to die to have the victory over sin. Got some verses of Scripture here. Let's look up. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that's talking about something that's outward. And that's the reason I wanted to look at the difference between the baptism of the Spirit and water baptism. Water baptism is just an example. It is a display of what has happened in your heart. It has nothing to do with salvation. And we're going to prove that. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they come unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed in his heart. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. You see, it's only after. How many of you folks have been baptized as an infant? Or you have been baptized when you joined a church? But, my dear friend, unless you're born again, unless you're saved, there is no reason for baptism. And sprinkling is not a scriptural means of baptizing. And the reason is because what it shows is the old self. It shows you dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. How can that be done with a couple of drops on your head when you're a child, an infant? Many places believe and teach that you have to be baptized in order to have the Holy Spirit come into your heart. You have to trust in Jesus. Then the baptism of the Spirit takes place. It's got nothing to do with the act of baptism, nothing to do with something you do. Now, that's contrary to many, many, many religions. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do, and that is go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God tells us. Now, we're going to go here to this wonderful scripture here that we've just read concerning Philip and the eunuch. You know, the eunuch was saved, listened to the Word of God, and they kind of traveled down the road, and then he must have seen some water because Philip must have told him. He must have said that, you know, you need to testify to others what's happened in your heart. And when he saw the water, well, he had a question for Philip, and that's where this question came from. And the answer was, if thou believest in all thy heart, thou mayest. See, it's got nothing to do with something special that it had. It's got everything to do with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him. Now, there's one more verse of Scripture here that may help you, too, because it's a little bit different. Most people think that you have to be baptized to be saved, and we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16, 16. Now, look at this, and listen very carefully. Again, the Word of God is the only truth and confirmation we have. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? You say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. Look at this. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It says nothing about baptism. See, we're to be born again. We're to trust in Jesus as our Savior. And we're to follow the Lord in baptism, showing what's happened to our heart, in our heart. But it's a work. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And so right here, if you believe not, doesn't say, or you're not baptized. But a lot of places have tied the two of them together and said, got to be baptized or you're not saved. Well, that's not according to the Word of God. That is not according to the Word of God. Let's talk about this water baptism. We have just a few more minutes. Let's talk about this baptism. We have been joined to Christ by baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into His death. We've looked at these things. We submit ourselves to water baptism after we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, after we have trusted in Jesus Christ. Now, there were a lot of gifts that were given during the time of the early church. And the reason is because it was a transitional period. And so some things were done. Now, those precious gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of tongues, all those things, they're gone. They left with the apostles. We don't have those anymore. We don't need them anymore. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We have it complete right here. We don't need those special gifts. They were given, and they were a transition period in there for to prove that it was from God. We have the proof. We have the Holy Spirit in our heart now, and we have the Word of God. We need nothing more, nothing else. So you see, we submit ourselves to water baptism, which symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. That's what it shows. And so when we stand in the baptistry, a true baptism is you stand in the water. You can do it in a lake, do it in a pond, do it wherever you want to do, as long as there's much water. And so we're standing there, and then you are lowered down. That shows your old self, who you used to be. You're lowered down into the water. That shows dying, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming back up out of that watery grave, pictures the resurrection. And so now we are raised with Christ. What a wonderful promise. As we have looked at the scripture verses here and enjoyed them with Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where we read concerning repent and be baptized. We also looked at Mark 16:16, believe and be baptized, and believe not and you'll be damned. And so, and then we looked in with the eunuch's question in Acts chapter 8. And so the question was, what hindereth me to be baptized? Well, do you believe? Water baptism is not essential to salvation. It has no part in saving us, none whatsoever. It is an outward experience, an outward appearance to show others exactly what's happened in our heart. It testifies that we are born again. That's all. It testifies that we are born again. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also the likeness of his resurrection. Since we are one with Jesus in his death, we will also be with him in his resurrection. What wonderful promises these words tell us. In the likeness of his death. This is what happens when we are baptized. We are professing what's happened in our heart. Got nothing to do. Jesus does the saving. There's nothing we can do. So shall we also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. So the death and his resurrection, our immersion from the watery grave to walk in the newness of life. When we're born again, all things pass away and all things become new. You want to prove your faith? Walk in the newness of life. That's just proving your faith. You're not working your way to heaven. It's proving your faith. True believers are in Christ and Christ in you. Wonderful. We'll pick this up next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?